Jude, verse number 12, is where we'll begin this evening.
In verses 12 and 13, God is sharing with us the character of the certain men that crept in unawares into the local churches there in the first century, telling us what they're like. And it's not a very pleasant description. He just lays it right out there and tells us what they're like. The problem was, is that they crept in unawares. In other words, they came in, they looked right, they sounded right, they smelled right, they were pleasant, they were good speakers. They drew to themselves a following. And that's where the problem came from, because people didn't recognize who these folks really were. And so God is, as I said, just laying it out there. In verse number 12 of the book of Jude, the Bible tells us, these are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And so in there we see the various descriptions God gives of these men's characters, their natures, what they're like. They put on a pleasant face, they become very friendly, but inside they're much, much different than what they appear on the outside. And so, last night we saw two in the Creation Seminar, two quotes from two different mainline evangelicals that you can listen to on the television set, and both of them declared that man is God, deifying man. One of them being Kenneth Copeland. He's a man you've heard of before, isn't he? And that's why I say, if you listen to these guys, they'll ruin you. He thinks he's God. And that's what he teaches, a direct quote. And so that's what they are on the inside, and we need to be aware of that. And so we looked last time at the spots in the water, or spots in your feast of charity. Now the spots, of course, would be the rocks and the waters that would be very, very dangerous. Today I want to focus in on these clouds without water. In our culture, when we have a day like today and there's clouds, it's kind of nice, especially if you're working outside doing yard work or cutting the grass or whatever it is you're doing. It's kind of nice to have some clouds to block the sun a little bit, give you a little relief from the heat. But in an agriculture society, a cloud without water was useless. And so we see that they were as useless as clouds without rain. That's number one there, and under letter A, as useless as clouds without rain. God's trying to get that across to us. They might write some interesting books and they might preach some interesting sermons, but God says they are useless, and we need to recognize that. Read books written by good people that have something to help you with. These guys don't, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in just a little bit. But water in the Bible is an emblem of a number of things, and let's look at some of these, because God says these guys are all without this, and it's important for us to grasp it. So let's turn over to the book of Psalms. We'll start there in Psalms, the first Psalm. Psalm chapter 1, verse number 3. Here God says, speaking of the righteous man or the godly man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so we see that the water here speaks of the nourishing of the saint, the nourishing of the saint. We oftentimes don't think of what the Holy Spirit does for us in this aspect, and what the Word of God does for us, and what church does for it, but it nourishes us in our spiritual life. That's why these things are all so important in our lives. I ate dinner today, and I ate lunch today, and I ate breakfast today, and I've done it just about every day of my life, and it's obvious if you look at me. But what happens when you see these infomercials late at night of the starving children? They look sickly, and they're just not healthy because they don't have nourishment. Well, that's what a lot of people's spiritual lives are like. They're being fed by these charlatans who are out there posing as ministers of light, and really they're not. There's certain men crept in unawares, and they just don't provide any nourishment for the spiritual life. And so, excuse me, they wind up as spiritual babies. If they're saved, they never grow up because they haven't had any nourishment, and they're sickly in their spiritual life. And so the Word of God does this for us, and water is an emblem of that. These false teachers are without that water, without that nourishment. And then over in Psalm 23, we see another use of the water as an emblematic of something else. Psalm chapter 23, verse number 2. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. And so here we see that it speaks of spiritual satisfaction. Aren't you glad you're saved? I mean, think about this. Aren't you satisfied with the bargain that God gave to us? You know, when you think about Black Friday and how people will camp out overnight to get the best deals, ha, they don't know what the best deal is, do they? The best deal is that God gives us the free gift of eternal life. No deal can ever beat that. And so too often, though, we take it for granted, but water speaks of the satisfaction that God gives us. Well, these certain men crept in unawares cannot provide that, nor do they have it and enjoy it themselves. They just don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. They're in it for different reasons, and most of the time it's money. We saw last week that they feed their bellies, the Bible tells us. That's their motivation, whatever they can get out of it. And a lot of people do a lot of things for all the wrong reasons, and that's unfortunate. But they don't advertise it. They don't carry signs, and they don't say on their billboards or on their promotional material, we are in this for the money, so come to my meetings loaded. Like I told you when we had our missions conference, we had the fellow with the good book table, told you to come loaded so you could unload yourself. Some of the green stuff and get some good stuff that'll feed you spiritually. And he did have a lot of good books, but these guys don't say that. They don't say, buy my prayer blanket, which is nothing more than a folded up piece of paper, because I want your money. They don't say, send in your offerings because I want to buy a new jet and buy a new $5,000 suit. They don't say these things. That's what they're in it for. They're not in just simply the satisfaction that God brings. And so water is emblematic of that satisfaction. Well, let's move on to the book of Isaiah 58. Now, you're going to want to throw a bookmark or a finger or something, keep it here in Isaiah. We're going to be coming back to the same area of Isaiah several times tonight. And so it'll just save a little bit of time that way. But Isaiah chapter 58, verse number 11, again we see water here. And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And so here we see water is emblematic of spiritual prosperity. Boy, there's nothing better than to have that spiritual prosperity, to realize that when you come to the Word of God, you've learned so much over the years, that the Holy Spirit of God has opened so much to you, and to have God speak through the Word of God. I still remember Rod Parsley, pastor, I can't remember the name of his church in Columbus, Ohio, but seeing him on cable TV one time, with a piece of a napkin from a restaurant that had writing on it, and he was preaching from that. Man alive. You talk about lacking spiritual prosperity, being a spiritual pauper, having to preach off of a napkin because the Word of God doesn't give you anything. God allows His children to prosper. And here in Isaiah, He uses water to describe that as water, like a well-watered garden. And so, you know, because we can just go to the faucet and turn it on and get water basically whenever we want, we take it for granted. But I guess if you ever lived out west, you might realize water's a scarcity, and especially if you go over to Israel in the day that Isaiah lived, they appreciated their water. They realized how important it was to survival. And so God used it to be symbolic of spiritual prosperity. Well, we've got another one here in Isaiah, backing up a little bit to chapter 44. Chapter 44. Now remember, these false teachers lack all of this. They're clouds without water. They have no rain in them. And so they don't know any of this and enjoy none of this. And this one is pretty enlightening in Isaiah 44:3. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty and floods upon the dry ground. Now notice what it is he's pouring. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed and my blessing upon thine offspring. And so the Holy Spirit is what water also is symbolic of, the Holy Spirit. And so John chapter 7, we're not going to turn there. I want to try to save a little time here so I can get through this tonight. But think about that. If they're clouds without water, then they're lacking the Holy Spirit. If they're lacking the Holy Spirit, what does that tell us? And let's put two and two together here.
They're not saved.
They're not saved. Because if they're saved, they have the Holy Spirit of God. And I guess that's how they can teach. Many of them teach that you can be saved without the Holy Spirit. And you get the Holy Spirit later. Because they don't understand the Holy Spirit. To them, the Holy Spirit is an emotion. To them, the Holy Spirit is just some fanaticism where they start gibberishing. And is that a word, gibberishing? Speaking in gibberish, let's just say it that way. It probably sounds better. Or they get twitches, or they bark like a dog or oink like a pig. And what are all these crazy revivals that are out there today? They think it's the Holy Spirit. Or they sway to the beat of the music. To them, that's the Holy Spirit because they have no clue. They're without water, clouds without rain. And this is what people listen to and feed off of and read the books and think they've got it. They don't have a clue. We need to come to the Word of God. We need to possess the Spirit of God. John 15:3. Anyone know what that verse says without us turning there? Now you are clean through the Word, which I have spoken unto you. And so it speaks of the effect of the Bible. The effect of the Bible is what the Bible does for us. And so the cleansing of the Bible. And so they're without all of this. Without all of this. How can they become teachers? I remember the mainline church that my mom and dad dropped me and my siblings off at when we were forced to join it. We didn't want to join it. We didn't have any interest. But my mom made me, because what she said is, you got to have someone to bury you if you die. That was her reason of joining a church. And seriously, that's what she said, verbatim. You got to have someone to bury you if you die. But anyway, I still remember the guy who called himself the preacher of that church. I don't think it was a preacher. He just read whatever the denomination sent him. But anyway, he was telling us how he got his desire to go into the ministry. He was laying by a pond one day out in the field, looking up at the clouds, and decided one day, I want to be a preacher. And that was his call. Wow. Clouds without water. It was nothing to do with the Spirit of God. No wonder that place was dry and dead. And so they're as useless as clouds without rain. All right. Well, why are the false teachers useless because they lack the Spirit, because they lack the Spirit. In Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 14. Proverbs chapter 25. Again, keep a finger there in Isaiah, because we'll be coming back to Isaiah in just a little bit. Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 14. Here God tells us, "Whoso boasteth himself of a false gift is like clouds and wind without rain." And so again, using the same phrase that God uses over in the book of Jude, but here he's talking about someone boasting himself of a false gift is like this. In other words, they could not give that which they did not have. Could not give that which they did not have. It's kind of just another way of saying the devil pays in counterfeit cash. And so it should be no wonder that his ministers have nothing but the same to pay with. Counterfeit cash. They cannot give what they don't have. They can't give any of the things that we just looked at under the previous point. And guess what? In the time of death, there's no hope that they can give. I remember going to a funeral of a lady's brother. She was a member of the church, so I went with her to support her. And the charlatan who conducted the funeral talked about Fiddler on the Roof. I thought, wow, where's the comfort in that? And I remember when my little brother died, and the same guy I talked about that laid by the pond and decided he wanted to be a pastor someday, there was no comfort there. I did nothing but detest him. I respected him until that moment. But it was so fake and so manufactured. You see, they had nothing to offer, nothing to offer. At the time of death. In the time of trial, there's no peace to offer. They come just as unglued as everyone else because they have no faith. They have no one to trust. And so it's all about circumstances. It's not about a God in heaven who has a perfect will for our lives. In a time of victory, there's no balance that's brought to us. I was reading about the pounds, when Jesus gave the parable, he gave 10 to 1, 5 to another, 1 to 1. Did you catch what he said to the one he gave 10 to? Says, "To whom little is given." That guy was probably thinking, man, I'm first class. I'm God's right-hand man. He trusted me with 10. He only gave you 5. He only gave you 1. Now, I really got it made. I'm really something. God's putting him in his place. You see, God will let us have great victories, but it's not us, it's God. And we have to always remember that, to be meek and to be lowly. And these charlatans, man, they'll celebrate just like, it just disgusts me watching sports sometimes. They score a goal or a basket or a touchdown, and they think they act like they've never done it in their life before. No one else in the world has ever done it before. They think they're the greatest thing since vanilla ice cream. And have a little self-respect and dignity is all I can think. When I coached basketball, I wouldn't let the girls celebrate. And that's what I told them. Act like you've done it before. But anyway, these false teachers knew nothing of that balance. Nothing of that balance. They couldn't give it. Counterfeit cash. When people were in sin, there was no correction. They didn't know how to do that because they didn't have the Holy Spirit to rebuke them. And so they have difficulty recognizing it. That's why these denominations are going the way they're going, these mainliners, adopting every far left agenda that the far left can come up with. And they're supporting it all. And it's just a sad day, a sad day. They can't give what they don't have. Their followers' plight is described in Isaiah 55, verse number 2. It's over in Isaiah chapter 55, verse number 2. You see, it didn't start in Jude's days in the first century. It was going on way back in the Old Testament. Isaiah lived before 700 BC. He lived in the 700s. In Isaiah 55, 2, God said this through him, "Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness." I heard preachers say that it's a good thing to read false doctrine books to understand what they teach. God says, why waste your time on that? Read good books, read good men, read good women that write good books, and read the book. Don't waste your time on this other garbage. There's nothing in it but counterfeit cash. And so the plight of the followers of these false teachers are described there. We're really going to have to move to get through this. All right, faithful prophets described as clouds with water. The first one is Moses in Deuteronomy 32. Deuteronomy 32. We'll be coming back one more time to Isaiah 55, so don't lose your spot there. Deuteronomy chapter 32. We need to read the first four verses. Deuteronomy 32, "Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth." Now, if you have a Bible that has outlines, and you see this is the song of Moses. Moses is speaking here, and he says in verse 2, "My doctrine shall drop as the rain." Here's a prophet that is a cloud with water. "My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender herb and as the showers upon the grass, because I will publish the name of the Lord. Ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is he." And so we find Moses teaching about God. Moses teaching about God. He's not wasting time with how to get rich in a financial seminar. He's not wasting time on anything but revealing God high and lifted up in all of his glory. And that's what we're supposed to focus on. All right, in Ezekiel chapter 20. Now that one's easy to answer, isn't it? The first blank, easy to answer. Ezekiel is the answer. In Ezekiel chapter 20, this one's a little bit more difficult to determine that he's with water, but I'll point that out if I can ever get there. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 46. "Son of man, set thy face toward the south and drop thy word." Now, the dropping thy word toward the south, the dropping is kind of the idea of a rain, all right? And so, as I said, it's not something that's readily apparent that he's a man that has water, clouds with water, but that's it right there. "Dropping thy word against the south and prophesy against the forest of the south field." And so what we have here, Ezekiel is teaching against sin, teaching against sin. If we put this into the context that we find it, he's teaching against sin. And then back in Isaiah chapter 55, "For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it." Well, God is saying about Isaiah here, about God's word, is to teach even with no results. Just keep teaching. Share the gospel even though no one seems to be getting saved. Just keep on doing it. He says, just don't quit. If it's right, share it. Okay? Teach the word of God to any and all who will listen. And so, faithful prophets described as clouds with water in contrast to these that are clouds without water. All right. Well, I'm all out of time. I didn't get through it tonight, so we'll pick this up, Lord willing, next week. Father, we thank you for your word. Bless us as we consider these thoughts. Father, we're so grateful for your salvation, this free gift you give to us, paid in full by Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Thankful for the indwelling presence of your Holy Spirit, whereby you guide us and teach us. And Father, you bring about growth, you bring about conviction. Father, you minister in so many ways in our lives. We're so grateful for that. Father, give us discernment that we might follow those that follow you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.